Hey guys, welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I am your host, Alex Christine, and today we are going to be unpacking forgiveness and tolerance and understanding how we navigate those two concepts in abusive relationships or in an abusive context. Okay, so here we go. We'll get started with the reading from today, which is from John 8. John 8 verse 1 says, Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken into adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, Let he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst, When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw no one but the woman there, he said unto her, Woman, And those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the oldest to the youngest, and Jesus was left alone with the woman. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Or there, some scholars have made commentaries on this about go and sin no more. I don't know that I'm quite ready yet to dive into such deep of a topic as to what that means. But I think those of you who do study the Bible will understand kind of how complex that can be. And so I would just encourage you, if you have questions, to go to your church or read the Bible, get in scripture, and just look. Just try to, you know, pray that the Holy Spirit would guide you, and that you would be given the Holy Spirit, and that you might, which I also want to note, the Holy Spirit guides us. Jesus leads us to him. Hey guys, we're back. So let us just dive in right into our topic for the day, okay? So we're going to be talking again about, we're just going to be unpacking forgiveness and tolerance. So in abusive relationships, as I discussed in the first episode, that the line between forgiveness and tolerance can become really, really hazy when you're talking about an abusive relationship. So for instance, forgiveness is mostly you letting go of your anger or resentment, or even maybe your desire to get even or something with someone who you feel has wronged you or who has wronged you. Tolerance, on the other hand, involves accepting or respecting others despite your differences or behaviors. So even if you don't agree with it or behave in the same way. And so that basically means that forgiveness is going to be more helpful towards you in your growth or in your walk with Christ and your journey through forgiveness and in receiving grace. But tolerance is just more like you know how to better coexist peacefully with others, if that makes sense, which, yeah, it does. So the way that I think we can kind of like flesh out what tolerance is in a the abusive context, or like the like a violent relationships, toxic relationships, you know the line I'm going down right now. In those types of relationships, I think each person is given a different level of what they can deal with. Each person is sort of given a different threshold, if you will, for what they can deal with, like what and what they can't. So, you know, for some, like in a healthy relationship, it might be like someone leaving their dirty socks on the floor or like dishes in the sink or something. But those aren't like harmful to your spirit. I say that with caution, but I don't think that those would be harmful to your spirit. Unless, of course, you do have like a trauma or like a trigger or something attached to that, then I would understand, you know. But generally speaking, like that's not, which is hard to generally speak at all, you know, but all right. So there's that. Or it could be like, for me, it was, I would not deal with anyone cheating, but I would tolerate more like physical violence or someone talking down to me, as long as it didn't involve anything to do with my looks or like my capabilities, I guess. Like people, I mean, and that's from child, like more childhood trauma and stuff, but yeah. I'm sorry. I knew I was going to struggle a little bit with this video because there are still some things I haven't talked about, and I am just ready to get it out so we can move on into maybe some funnier stuff, but or just like educational or something. But I feel like I have to, it's one of the ways, of many ways in which I fall short. I do struggle with perfectionism and wanting things to be perfect, and like I'm trying to keep you guys' attention, but at the same time, I mean, if I just want this to help you, I want this to help someone, and it, from your feedback, it seems like it is, which makes me super duper happy, and I hope it continues. I really love your feedback. It's been super insightful to see your comments and stuff. Okay. Also, I want to be following a bi-weekly, not like twice a week, but every other week format. But I think for a while we'll just see, depending on engagement and like the questions you guys might have. So, yeah, I was just really, really surprised by the engagement on that first video. That's why episode 2 was released early, because I started to have a lot of anxiety. I'm like, oh no, I wish I could just lay my brain and my heart and all my experience, like everything out here, but not for privacy purposes, or like maybe to bombard you or whatever, if that would bombard you in some way or frazzle you. Is that the right? Did I make up that word? Probably not. Frazzled? No, that's a word. Okay. On we go. So, yeah. So I think we're each able to carry different strengths in regard to tolerance. Like, or we have different strengths and carry different weights in regard to like what we can tolerate. So, you know, it might not be good if someone who is quick-witted to be with someone else who is also quick-witted or sharp-tongued, or however you want to put it, you know, that could end up in a lot of spats, especially if there isn't much self-control yet built in that area or been gifted, because patience is a gift. All of these things that we're talking about in the positive way that would bring glory to God are gifts given by Him to us for His glory. So that is not, none of this is like, oh, look at you, like blah, blah, blah. No, none of it. And I would turn videos off if that's what it became. So hope we can be on that same page. So yeah. And then maybe someone who is like super gentle or sensitive wouldn't respond well then to someone who's sharp-tongued or who might snap at them, you know? Because, like, when people snap at me, I immediately start crying. So, that's, yeah, embarrassing, I guess. Not really embarrassing, just it's who I am, and I'm just sensitive, and so I try to fix it. I've tried to fix it before, but I've learned that it's just not taking things personally. It's just like, it's just like a body response. The body keeps count. So again, I don't really feel like I should be educating you on PTSD, but that's somewhat what a lot of like what this is. So I don't know. I'm sure as we go, but I can't say everything at once. So, yeah, so someone who's gentle or sensitive might suffer a lot of emotional pain if they're with someone like that. And, like, that's not bad or whatever either way. I mean, you should know how to control your mouth, obviously. But again, we each have, like, we all fall short of the glory of God. So, and that's not an excuse to continue sinful behavior or anything. I'm just saying we all fall short. We all make mistakes. We also all bring different things to the table in relationships. Like our methods of addressing conflict and also responding, like how we respond to it. So, you know, in the context of an abusive partner, tolerance might not be the best approach to the behavior. However, me saying that is completely irrelevant. I mean, that's because if you've been through it, you understand the deeper complexities involved, which we are getting into, hopefully, today. So, tolerance implies, it implies or can imply that you accept the behavior. That's a little difficult to wrap my head around because, you know, while I might have been considered to I might have considered myself to have been tolerating the abuse, I guess. I saw it more as I'm forgiving him, and I'm trying my best to see each day as a new day and give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, after a long time and the nonstop stuff, violence, whatever, would keep happening. You guys are going to see me, like, space out a lot. That it literally happens when you're rehashing your trauma, but it's okay because I'm in a safe place right now, so. And I hope you guys are too if you are a part of this community that I'm trying to build here, so. So tolerance implies the acceptance of behavior, which in the case of abuse is harmful and unacceptable. Forgiveness may come after addressing the abuse and ensuring safety, but tolerance of abusive behavior can perpetrate harm. It's important to prioritize safety, seek support, and if necessary, leave the abusive situation. But it's also important to note that oftentimes when leaving, that is the most dangerous time for the abusive partner to act or lash out. And I just wish that people would have a little bit more understanding. Like, I don't think a million people should have to stand up in front of a mic and explain what PTSD is when you have a phone right in front of you, but you'd rather look up who's playing the MLB game tonight or something. See, I don't even know what friggin' season it is. And I'm not hating either, so I'm sorry. I don't mean it like that. I just think that these are important topics, and I probably wouldn't be as compassionate about it if I hadn't personally experienced it and seen how detrimental the effects of it are on not just the victim, don't like to use that word, the survivor, or the abuser, him or herself, and then everyone around them. So these are really, really big things, and I don't ever want to be insensitive, but sometimes I kind of have to dissociate when I'm making these videos so that I can actually get through it. Okay, so yeah, it's important to understand the difference between these two things whenever you're like, if there has been zero changed behavior. And sometimes, like, what I noticed in my situation was, like, sometimes things would get better for a little while, and then it would get worse again. And then it would get better, and then it would get worse again. And then during the final times, like, the final parts of the relationship, it was just bad all the time. Like, it was not getting better. It's really, really important to understand the distinction between the meanings of these two things, because I don't hate, but this has been really, really hard for me to accept. Really hard. Like, I think I'm still struggling to accept this, Abusers, I do think, can change. I think violent people can change, just like anyone else can. I've seen it. I've witnessed it firsthand. I've seen people come to God, like, God draw them in, and I've seen that. But distance, like, I have noticed also that distance from an abusive person or a violent person who is close to you, who has made your home not a home, which maybe you grew up with. Maybe your home wasn't a home growing up. I remember I remember having an escape route planned during my childhood years. So, you know, when you don't feel safe in your own home, then you're gonna lack a lot of other things. Also, I think that plays into why an adult might, like, there is a saying that people who are abused growing up end up becoming victims of abusive relationships or become abusers themselves. And after I'd stopped being in communication with my dad in high school, I think I was, like, almost certain that wasn't going to be me. I'm never going to let anyone do that to me. But it's really, really interesting and insanely sneaky how it happens. Like, and a lot of it, I think, involves gaslighting, manipulation and stuff, because you just get into this state of confusion, and it's so easy to fall in. And at that point, you're probably not listening to your friends or family because you're so flustered with what's happening in your mind, just the constant chaos of being in those types of relationships. But after the break here, we're going to move into tolerance. After this break, we're going to move into tolerance. So thanks again for tuning in, guys. Okay, guys, we're back, and we're moving into what tolerance is in its distinct form from forgiveness. Okay, so tolerance in abusive relationships refers to enduring or putting up with harmful behavior from the abuser. It can involve minimizing the severity of the abuse, making excuses for the abuser's actions, or accepting mistreatment as normal or deserved. Tolerance can stem from various factors, including fear of escalation, financial dependence, social pressure, or emotional manipulation by the abuser. Some of the things I literally just touched on. 90% of my fights in my relationship, the long relationship, was finances. It was one of our biggest fight problems ever. We fought so much. I was always trying to be like, it's okay. But, like, also I understand the pressure that he was under. A lot of our fights came from that. And, we would go days without eating sometimes because we did not have money for anything. So, yeah. And then fear of escalation, of course. Especially when you're Yeah, you've passed out a couple times. You've been knocked out, you know, like you've been, you know how it goes. So, but while tolerance might initially serve as a coping mechanism for survival. So I don't really like how harsh that sounded, like all this sounds. I don't like it. I don't know why I have this on my outline. It's a lot harder for me to follow an outline when I'm telling stories sometimes, especially when they're involving like these deep topics. And I'm trying to obviously be careful and sensitive because they're extreme topics. They are very extreme, very sensitive, and I want to be gentle with people as I relay this information. It is not something that you just talk about and just with no filter. So I'm doing my best to do that as someone who occasionally slips up and has a sharp tongue. All right. It can ultimately, while tolerance may initially serve as a coping mechanism for survival, it can ultimately perpetuate the cycle of abuse and hinder the victim's ability to recognize and address the abuse. Okay. I was already following the outline. Cool deal. All right, now, and so, okay, now we can move forward into forgiveness as distinct from tolerance. Forgiveness, again, is letting go of your anger. You're not trying to get vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Don't try to get even. I'm not telling you what to do, because sometimes that's, maybe it would be hard. I experienced sometimes where I did want to get even, but not in the same way as he did. It was just more like, oh, I think I'm going to like show him that I am worthy or something, you know, and you just start developing these like survival mechanisms, but, or not worthy, but just, I don't really want to tell you guys because I don't know you, like all of you. But yeah, if you want to get more involved in like the community forum and stuff, I would be happy to share exclusive videos with you where I do get more into detail about these things, because this is really hard being so general and not just saying what it is. Like, I don't know. Okay, so moving forward. It doesn't necessarily mean being reconciled with the abuser, or condoning their actions, saying like, that's okay, obviously it's not okay, but rather releasing that emotional burden of like, so a lot of times people think that, at least for me, I felt like the stuff that happened was my fault. So I'm like, okay, if I change my behavior enough, if I just behave this way, if I just do this, if I just do this, if I just don't say it that way, if I love on him more, if I just all, like, and I would love on him and stuff, so, like, I felt like I was already doing the do's. I was like, okay, so what are the don'ts? And it does allow you to, like, which, mine is more testimony related, so, because it was a gift, and a gift that had been given to me by God, so it's hard for me to say this as, like, in, like, I always get secular and non-secular confused, but the one that's not religion or not like Christian or Christ-based context, if that makes sense. Okay. But yeah, I don't know how to use that language here as it applies to like my own situation really, or how I would want to explain it to others. So I'm just gonna wing it here. Okay, so forgiveness can be a deeply personal and empowering process for survivors, allowing them to heal and move forward with their lives. Would fully agree with that. However, I do also think, and maybe it's because of the complex trauma, complex trauma that developed in childhood, like, if you have any background in psychology, you understand what ACEs are, and, like, the higher your ACEs score is, you know, the more trauma you had in childhood and probably the significantly more problems you will have in adulthood. I have a high score on that, so I'm not speaking from blind whatever. I don't know. Yeah. So, oh yeah, with that being said, I think sometimes it is a little bit harder for, I think some people might like misinterpret the healing process, like especially if, you know, maybe someone got hit once. I'm not minimizing any level of abuse. I'm just saying there are certain levels of abuse that are like extreme. There's like Stockholm syndrome extreme, which I still wonder sometimes. I'm like, did I like develop that or something? I don't know, because yeah, the stuff was crazy. But okay, my outline says, however, forgiveness is not a requirement for healing, and survivors should not feel pressured to forgive their abusers if they are not ready or willing to do so. 100% agree with that. And again, I think that's because forgiveness is a gift. So, the most important point I have about forgiveness, though, is that it is essential to differentiate between forgiveness and reconciliation. That means getting back with your partner. I know how hard it was. It probably took me more than the statistically stated 7 times. It takes a victim 7 times to leave an abusive relationship before they leave for good. I'm pretty sure it took me way longer than that, or way many more times than that. Embarrassing. Well, not. It is what it is, and I'm thankful for how it turned out, because God really set me free in a lot of ways. So, and I think he found me through it, which he was always there. I just developed a much deeper relationship with him through those things happening. So, and in trying to like make sense also of all of my life that had happened up to that point, and it was like, how did I get here? And God just started piecing everything together, and it's been really beautiful. So, in summary, while tolerance involves enduring abuse, and I don't even know why I have making excuses for the abuser's behavior. I don't like that language. So while it involves enduring abuse, forgiveness entails letting go of any anger you might have, and maybe you aren't even angry about it. Maybe you're just sad. That was me. I was just sad about it, because I just wanted him to be better. But again, my own emotional well-being was so bad. I was worrying my family. It was just extending so far, the pain and everything that was, people were worried constantly. Like, I probably stressed out my parents so much that it took years off their life. And I hate saying that. That's probably not the right thing to say, and I might cut that too. But yeah, and I have apologized for that, and it makes me sick to even think about, but God has forgiven me, so I gotta stay on that mindset. Okay, so both concepts play significant roles in the journey of survivors of abusive relationships. But it is crucial to recognize the differences between these two, like reconciliation and forgiveness. That was one of the biggest, like, aha moments I think God gave to me after a while in the process of leaving, which took years. But, you know, because it, and I said this in the first video, it was that you, and I'm like, maybe God's saying, like, I can forgive him, but we can have our space. For his glory, for the furtherance of his glory and his kingdom. And that was during the time that he was really piecing all that together for me and making that make sense, because these were all things I just didn't understand. I will say that after the first time I left my partner, I was absolutely distraught. I did not want to leave, and I truly thought I was never going to be able to move on. And it's been so... This happened, we started dating in college. I started college in 2016. It's 2024. I still struggle to think that I will ever be able to fully move on. Not from the trauma, from the love I had for him and the relationship that we had that didn't involve the trauma. Because that's another thing I think people get confused. They're like, how could you be with someone like that? Why would you even want to be with someone who beats you? It's like, well, because we have really, really, really great times too. Like, why would I stay if it was just boring? If I didn't even like it? Like, I loved him. I mean, your mom probably, like, people's moms probably love them, okay? So I like to compare that to, like, relationship-wise. For me, in my experience, I think God blessed me with the most amazing mother. And, but I know that no matter what I do, she's always going to love me. She might not always support what I do. She might not always agree with it. She might not, you know, yeah, X, Y, and Z. Like, you can fill in the blank. But she's always going to be here for me, you know, until God calls her home or he returns. So that's just kind of how I was viewing that relationship, was like just that kind of love. I was like, okay, well, that was the example of love that I had known. So that's what I was trying to do. But that's like a motherly love. And I don't know. We'll work it out. I probably know deep down, but there's no point in me journaling those thoughts on here right now. So, but yeah, after I did leave, I ended up checking myself into, an outpatient mental health facility, because it was pretty much like from the second I would open my eyes until I went to sleep, I would cry and just, it literally felt like I was gonna die from my heart breaking. And I learned during that time, so I'm like, can you die from a broken heart, like on Google? And it's like, actually you can, broken heart syndrome. So I was like, I think I'm dying of broken heart. Okay. But I don't think. Anyway, I'm still here. So yeah. I'm gonna take another break because I need to gather my thoughts and get us back on track so we can finish up this episode. And alright. Be right back. Thanks, guys. Okay, so thank you guys again for being patient for these breaks, even though I don't even think they impact you because I cut them out. So we're going to now discuss some of the misconceptions about like forgiveness in general terms, like in healthy relationships probably, and then more specifically what forgiveness is and how it is, its role in healing in like traumatic relationships. Okay. So some people think that forgiveness is for the other person, and sometimes it can be like when the other person is actually sorry. Because I know that's like a burden. Like if I say sorry to someone, I want to hear it's okay. I mean, in the end game, in the long run, it doesn't really matter. I don't know what's with my words right now. Okay. In the end though, oh my goodness. Some people think that forgiveness is for the other person. And sometimes it can be when the other person is truly sorry. But most often it's for the person who has been abused. Because I needed to hear that I was, that or not, I not that I was sorry. I needed to hear from my ex that he was sorry when he was continually doing those things. I remember after the first time it happened, he never once said sorry. And I remembered waking up the next day still waiting for an apology, and he never gave one. And I might have confronted it and been like, I don't exactly remember, but I'm pretty sure that I did. And I'm like, are you not even going to apologize? And that probably wasn't the right thing to do, you know, bring it up or whatever, but I don't know. Wasn't the best way to handle it. I was 18 years old, so, and away from everyone I knew and loved and all my family support that I had grown up with. So I will give myself some grace for that. But And that was another part that also played into why, I mean, I've always had, as I mentioned in the first video, this very solid idea or like knowledge of what I believed marriage should be according to God's purpose and plan. And that would be to stick by one another. And stay with one another and to work through things. So I had made that commitment. It's like, for better or for worse, you know, we didn't get married, but I made that commitment towards him. So that was in my heart when I left my family and they all didn't want me to leave. And it was in my heart then that I was like, I have now committed myself to him and I've got to figure out how this is going to work, because I wasn't functioning really with God. Or I didn't realize I was functioning with that he was there during that time, but I personally was just not. I wanted what I wanted, and I wasn't. Nothing else was getting in the way of that. So yeah, but I think that my perspective on that like that forgiveness was for the other person, I guess. That, because again, like whenever I don't want to carry a weight around about something that, if I've apologized for something, but at the end of the day, if that other person still doesn't apologize, it's going to be okay. Like, I know God forgives me, so I'll just be praying, or you shouldn't say when, I don't think we're supposed to say when we pray for people. I don't know. Okay. I have fear of the God. Fear of God is a good thing. So, okay. One of the biggest places I think I got the lines like twisted and my knowledge like messed up about my, even with my commitment towards him, was that I was forgiving him while it was happening, but there wasn't any sign of remorse. I would wait and wait for an apology, and I never really got one until I was fully out of the situation, and like until after I had to leave and everything. And again, at that point, I didn't really need it because I had already been dealing with all of that. So, like, the pain that he gave me to carry. So, yeah. So, one could say that my tolerance is what kept me in the relationship. You could say that, probably, depending on how you define it and what your understanding of the world is and what your experiences are. You could say that. I think one of the biggest changing moments or like pivotal moments during that time for me was realizing how much I had lost myself, was realizing I am zero, like I am nothing like who I used to be at this point. I was not me. I felt like I had almost like lost touch with my heart. I was just so sad and all the time. And I'm not saying that has gotten a million times better, but it has gotten exponentially better. I don't spend all day every day crying. Actually, I now have a fear of crying for longer than a certain amount of time because I'm afraid I'm going to fall back into that. But once the relationship had finally ended and I'd realized like that I had zero self-confidence and I just was just a mess, you know, and when I was, by the grace of God, done with the back and forth and the cycle of that relationship, I began to feel a profound sense of peace that I know can only come from God. And it's so very complex for me. Because I think about how my mom loves me and how it doesn't matter what I do and she still loves me and doesn't give up on me. That's so much like how God loves us. However, you know, God's way is greater than any other way, and God loves us more than that. That is, like, he loves us more than the person we think loves us most does, which is just, you can't wrap your head around it. It's beautiful. So But I wanted to get, again, be like how my mom was for me, for my ex, because I saw his brokenness. I saw his brokenness, and I wanted to be there for him, despite whatever that meant for me, because I truly did love him. But again, in that sight, in that light, during that time, I lost sight of how to even love rightly, and how to love, even having the energy to love those who actually loved me back and care for me and encourage me. And that's not to say that my ex didn't love me either. I think that's very important to point out, but I just lost sight of how to do all that rightly, and was just kind of stuck in a state of survival mode, which I had realized later I had been in since childhood. So it's been a lot to unpack over the last few years. All right, so for the second part, we're gonna try to examine tolerance and why we might do that in abusive relationships, given that it doesn't mean we accept the behavior, because I do not like that definition. I don't think that means accepting the behavior. I think it means, again, I think it should be simplified to just like being peaceful with others, whether you agree or disagree. So, yeah, and just stewarding grace sort of in that person's life. So, or being a steward or vessel of grace in that person's life. But yeah, so, obviously, violent relationships or abusive relationships are dangerous, especially when leaving. And a lot of times when it goes on for a long time, you know, again, like, it's kind of like the story I told earlier. Like, the first time it happens, you think, okay, it won't happen again. But then gradually it starts happening a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And then now it involves verbal stuff, and now it involves spiritual, and now it involves emotional, and now it involves financial, and now it involves your house and your life and your future if you ever get married again or have kids. Now that's at stake, because violence has been threatened against that. And when you're so stuck in it and you're isolated, because typically that's how it goes, again, isolated from friends and family, and this happened more than once, because as I said, we continued to, we were back and forth for a long time after the court stuff was over. It didn't take very long. I refused to be involved in it, because I was like, we're young. And I'm sure I did something, like, I'm not in a healthy place either. I'm not in a good place. I want to move on from this. So, yeah. But when you begin to tolerate this behavior, it can get a lot worse. And I know that personally, very, very, very personally. So, but what had kept me there is like, okay, I made the decision. And what kept me with him is like, I made this decision. I made this commitment. I can't be a failure in this. Like, this was all I've ever wanted, and it's with him, and he's my best friend too, and I just wish that it wouldn't be, I just wish the violence wouldn't be there, but everything else is perfect. So you just kind of hold on to the good, but over time it becomes really dangerous. Your life is at stake, and it's never good to put more pressure on someone who's being abused than what they already have. If someone who is abused feels comfortable enough to talk to you, especially about it, I would hope that only encouraging words would come out of your mouth or anyone's mouth, because all people really need in that time is some love, genuine, true, good love and gentleness and an ear to listen, someone to hug if they want it. I would not let myself be touched. It literally until the last year, if anyone touched me, even still, I still have a problem with touching. Even though I love hugs, I grew up loving hugs, but it just, my physicality, I guess, has been extremely affected by that. So, but so like, I knew if I came back, my parents would be like, I told you so. I knew that if the relationship ended, I would hear, I've been telling you from the beginning, blah, 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 that he wasn't good for you, or he wasn't. And then, you know, I lost a lot of friends during that time because I kept going, I stayed with him. I lost so many friends because of the same exact thing. They'd be like, well, not the same thing, but they would worry and didn't understand why I was there. And so you're just losing all these people, and it, yeah. Okay. So I have another little point here that when we examine societal pressures and cultural norms that may encourage the tolerance of abuse, I think a lot of that too is like that, what is it? The taboo-ness of like talking about divorce or something, but it's, and it's obviously gotten less taboo. I mean, more than, I think it's, I don't know, there's a large percentage of marriages that in divorce nowadays. So, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fatherless society that we live in, and a few others I won't mention quite yet. But, yeah, so I can see that, though, like, where it's like, I remember even with my friends, like, I know you would think that they'd be encouraging, but I obviously didn't have the best of friends. I wasn't that great at choosing partners either. So they always want to add to stuff, you know, and like pile things on you worse. And, you know, and then especially if you're in that age where people are gossiping, going behind your back, which might never end apparently, because I'm getting pretty old and I'm seeing it still happening, and I've seen it among people way older than me and people way younger than me, so I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, I can see that, like the societal pressure, like them going, your only friends that you have left now, going behind your back talking about how dumb you are, like just pointing out, like, isn't that so funny? Like I used to genuinely worry about that, like that they would be laughing at the things that I would get beaten about, because I thought they would think they're true. And so I genuinely like would worry about those things. Another reason why I would want to stay, and just like the partnership, the best friend, the friendship that I had with my ex, that kept me there too. So I wouldn't really say that was a societal pressure, but also just, yeah, like, and then not feeling, I mean, while it was going on, while I was going through all that, I didn't tell anyone. I never told anyone when it was happening until I was home, back home, like away from it again. Because I knew that if I would say something, they would worry. So, and then in turn, that would make things a bit heavier as well. So, yeah. So basically, yeah, I just wanted to, because I had said that in the first episode that we would be talking about, like, how the line can get hazy in abusive relationships, about, like, the distinction between tolerance and forgiveness and whatnot, but hopefully this painted a little bit of a clearer picture. I'm not so sure that it did, but we'll run with it. And I think next episode I am intending on talking about my testimony, so I really can't wait, and I hope you guys tune in. Also, I will typically be following a every other week format for these videos, but if you probably noticed, my episode 2 was released a week early because I just felt like I needed to be laying these like contextual, I had a lot of deep convictions after the first video was posted that I needed to lay down some of the ground foundation just about all of this, so that we can maybe be on the same page as much as we can be, you know, considering our differences and likenesses. But yeah, again, thank you guys so much for listening and just being supportive and journeying with me through this. And I would love to journey with some of you guys, with you guys through what you might be going through. So again, please subscribe. And really, if you want to go to my website, I have a forum that I am available to answer questions on if you ever really want to delve into these topics in greater detail. And if you have an interest in maybe me posting the more nitty-gritty, like, I'm saying names, I'm saying what really happened, like, then yeah, I will figure out some way to do that, but I would do that through the blog or through the forum on my website, through some, like, a private access thing, because I don't want that information out there everywhere. It's supposed to be a community of safety and respect for others, so yeah, we're gonna maintain that. Again, thanks for tuning in. I will see you guys probably next week, if I decide again to maybe through the end of the month continue this foundation laying, I guess. And then we can move to an every other week, but I will keep you guys updated. And yeah, thanks again. I love you guys.